Thank you for tuning in for Tune Up with Deb, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Now back to your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Todd Doherty, our Member of Parliament. We have been speaking about the USMCA just before the break. So I wanted to ask you, Todd, from your perspective, what are the highlights of this new trade agreement?
Well, that's a good question. It's a bit of a loaded question, Deb. As I said to you last week, it's a 1,000-page document. We are definitely going to have to take our time to go through it to really be able to, give a better, more knowledgeable answer to what the what the highlights are. I think if we look at just things that matter most here. For me, I can give you the low lights and the highlights at the same time. The challenge is that the steel and aluminum tariffs are still on there, which I know I've spoke with some of our local producers. They're incredibly worried about how that is. There's no timeline for that for when those are going to be taken off. Something that is for me to give a good or a positive, that we retained Chapter 19, which is our dispute mechanism, a dispute reconciliation resolution, mechanism, which is what we've used time and again in terms to mitigate and. Any of the charges against our softwood lumber producers from the American-led lumber producers, this has allowed us to be able to essentially use Chapter 19 to be able to go in and show that there's no harm that has been done by our lumber industry on the U.S. Lumber industry. And that is something that is very, very important. So being able to retain that is important, because I know that was something that was being threatened to be taken off. The Prime Minister says that they were able to include an energy ratchet clause. I'm not sure how that is. It was never applied for or get rid of the energy ratchet clause. I don't think it was ever used in 30 years. The biggest thing, Deb, if I can in saying this, is that the U.S. is measuring this deal by what they gained, and I think we as Canadians are measuring this deal by what we didn't have to give up, and that is something that. As we go into this, we have to really take a look. Again, as I said earlier on, we replaced a 30-year-old agreement that, for all intents and purposes, 30 years, it needed to be updated, but we willingly offered for it to be updated. I don't think we were originally the intended target for this. I'm not quite sure what we got in return. I think Canadians, as we move through this, will see that we actually probably lost more than what we gained. But, only time will tell.
Yeah.
I think, again, as we talked offline, I'm trying to look at this in a very nonpartisan way and how this is going to impact us back home in Caribou Prince George. We have dairy producers within our region that, they've just given up another 4% of their market, of their share. That's an issue. We will likely see more U.S.-based products come in terms of dairy, milk, and eggs. The extension of patent terms for 10 years from 8 in terms of medicine. That means that medicine is likely going to be more expensive down the road for us. It is really going to be interesting to see how how this impacts us as we move forward. We don't have a softwood lumber agreement. While I'm not sure negotiating softwood lumber under into the USMCA was the right way of moving forward, we now sit 3 years without an agreement. I can let you know that it's likely hasn't even been a topic because, you know, all resources were kind of placed on trying to negotiate this. So we sit with a lot of uncertainty. Our environment in terms of development is still, and it's increasingly so, uncompetitive in terms of what is going on south of the border. So it'll be interesting to see as we move forward, and likely we'll know more in the coming days, weeks, and months.
Yeah, so I guess the question I asked really was premature in timing because we're not really going to see what the highlights are until things are ratified and confirmed. Mm-hmm. I think your comment about the measuring of success from the U.S. perspective is what they gain, from our perspective is what we didn't have to give up. I think that is painfully true.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we were expecting that because we have been listening to so much of the U.S. message in our daily news intake. Mm-hmm. That I think that as Canadians, we were almost all in that position to expect that. And I kind of feel played a little bit with that.
Yeah, you know, I think, I don't think we did, and again, I'm trying not to be partisan here. I don't think we did or we gave ourselves, how do I say this? I think that there's some things that we did during this process. And when I say we, I mean, you know, our prime minister in terms of some of the comments that he made, some of the speeches, some of the interviews that he gave, and our minister of foreign affairs, some of the, just the antics. You know, listen, when you're sitting against a known entity as President Trump, you know, we want to be firm. There's no two ways about it. But you want to make sure that that any ancillary or secondary interviews or going on doesn't inflame the situation. You can do what you need to do, and you can be respectful. There are things that I believe some arrogance just got in the way, perhaps maybe on either side. But I would say that we probably engaged in some extremely dangerous or inflammatory actions along the way that didn't help us in the final negotiations of what we got sitting in front of us. And I hope that you know, everybody learns a lesson. There were a lot of people around that table, you know, the key figures on our side need to be probably, I think we need to be a little bit more cautious when we're, how we're purporting ourselves or comporting ourselves when we're doing these negotiations.
So what recourse does Canada have if the U.S. doesn't live up to this agreement?
That's a very good question. What do we do? I mean, essentially, the U.S. holds all the cards. I mean, we can opt out of it, of course, but then, as I said earlier on, 75% of our exports go to the U.S. Increasingly, we have seen a more of a Buy American approach, and that Buy American mandate was there's no lessening of that in this agreement. You would hope that, okay, well, you know, we're gonna let some lessen that somewhat, but there wasn't any. That Buy American clause is still there. That Buy American mandate is still ever present and larger than ever, and probably increasing every day. So that is the issue that we have at hand. Is Canada, and now with the new agreement, once it's ratified, we can't even go and say, okay, well, we're going to negotiate with another entity without having to go to the U.S. and actually ask for permission. That's the reality of it, and that's the truth.
Oh, that's a sad comment.
It is. It is disappointing. And there'll be pundits that say that's not true, but I urge folks to listen to people that are far, far more knowledgeable on this than I am, that are all saying the same thing. 3210 essentially gives the U.S. The opportunity to say, to veto any of Canada's secondary negotiations or bilateral agreements with other non-market countries.
So at the end of the day, I think we all as Canadian families are very interested in how this is going to affect our lives, our bottom line, and basically the health of our families and the financial health of our families. And that's something, of course, that I work with every day.
That's right.
And it remains to be seen. You know, when we're talking dairy, that is something very near and dear to my heart. We do have a hobby farm, and I don't know why people call it a hobby farm.
Because it's not a hobby. It's really, that's right.
I'm not sitting in a corner knitting.
That's right.
Neither are my kids. But there's a lot of work that goes into producing any type of food-type material. And when I look at these issues with the dairy concerns, and you just look at this and think, why? But, you know, there's a lot of confidence that we have as Canadians in our dairy producers. We have a lot of pride in our dairy producers. And I honestly found that particular issue of all the issues more alarming to me, being a mom, being a grandma. Dairy, you know, it's an issue that is right at our dinner table.
Yeah, no, yeah. You know, there's a lot of, and even, you know, when you have certain people around the table, there will be some for supply management, there will be some that'll be against supply management, and you can have varying differing degrees of pros and cons for it, and people that are for and for against it, but it is essentially protecting our own industry, and I'm not quite sure why that was made the biggest issue within the USMCA, much larger than what it had to be in every agreement that Canada's ever done previously. There are always off-ramps or provisions that are in there that deal with Canada's, you know, how we protect all of our industries. But this was one that it's really interesting. You know, we've got, as I said, we've got some dairy farmers here in this family or in this region, and you know they're obviously concerned that that this is the U.S. is going to have an increasing access to our market. Mm-hmm. We really capitulated to the U.S. on their demands and. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It is something that we should be always erring on the side of Canadian producers and doing whatever we can.
Yes, absolutely. Todd, thank you so much again for your time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. To my listeners, thanks so much for your time, and we will talk again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.